Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord for his righteousness, his peace, and his joy brought to us by the Holy Ghost. It's just great to be with you today. Pastor Belinda and I are here live streaming. Welcome to our Grace Christian Center's Sunday live stream. And thank you for joining us today, April 19th, 2020. A special hello to our Grace family. We love you so much, and we miss each and every one of you, from the youngest, I think our youngest is Thea Casper, and from the youngest to the oldest. There's some in the 80s and 90s joining us today by live stream. Jim and Ursula and Mom Marianne, you know who you are. And we're so grateful for the Lord's care and protection over all of you and over us in these days. You know, our God is a God of the generations. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of the little ones and the big ones, the younger ones, the older ones. He's the God of the rich and poor. He's the God of any race or creed. He's the God of all of us together. We're the generations that run together. We call it generational synergy. There is no generation gap in God, and there's no generation gap in Grace Christian Center, for which we're very happy that the generations have learned to run together in the kingdom life. We love the reports that we're getting that everyone is taking care of each other. There's no lack or anything like that going on in our church family. Everybody's taking really good care of each other. And Pastor Belinda and I are really, really proud of you. And I just want to thank Jesus right now. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, over the church, for your watch and your care, your protection, and your provision over us and our people, all those who are with us, all those who are under our tent of blessing. We release the protection of the blood of Jesus upon us, within us, all around us, between us and evil and the author of evil, for the covenant people to have their needs met during this special time. And we just continually apply the blood of Jesus over your life in our daily prayers and intercessions and decrees over you. It's a joy to be your pastors. And Pastor Belinda and I love you and love providing for you the leadership that God has placed within us for you and over you and through you. Our text for today, I feel the preach coming on, or at least the prophetic teach coming on. So I'd like to get right into the word of God. But if you're watching either via Facebook link into YouTube or directly into the YouTube channel, please like and share and subscribe so that you get notification when we do go live. And appreciate each and every one of you sharing the broadcast with others. We're reaching a lot of folks that we don't normally reach, and that's really a wonderful thing. And so we welcome everyone to our broadcast today. For a text today, I would like to start in Romans chapter 15. I have the Passion Translation here, Romans 15, 13. And I believe this is where the word of the Lord begins to come to us. And I really believe God has something to say to you today, each one of us, young and old, like I said, anyone who's listening. I think God has something to say to us today that will challenge our faith, increase our faith, establish our faith, and give us a special kind of hope and faith in this very challenging time in which we live. Now, the scripture goes this way, verse 13, Romans 15. Now, I always like it when the scriptures say now. Now, right now, where you are right now, may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope. Aren't those good words? That's who he is. He's the inspiration. He's the instigator of our faith and hope. He's the originator He's the applicator. He's the agitator. He's the one that'll stir us up. And he is the inspiration and that fountain of hope. And it says here, may he fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy. That is, the joy in us will spill out on others. And he says, not only will you have uncontainable joy, but you'll have perfect peace. I love that. He'll fill you to overflowing with perfect peace as you trust in him. Amen. We trust you, Lord, and we believe you for this hope and joy and peace that you have. And it goes on. It says, and there's more. He says, and may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his super abundance until you radiate with hope. And I believe God's message to you today is he wants to really surround you. He wants to fill you. He wants to inspire you. He wants to bring you to a place of uncontainable joy and perfect peace in him. And, you know, last week, we just passed through the Resurrection Sunday celebration. Some call it Easter, you know, last Sunday. And we celebrated the greatest day in human history. We celebrated that day when God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus, after giving his life a ransom for us all, for all the sin of the world, you know, he descended and he took away the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil. Adam and Eve had given the devil authority on in earth through their sin, and Jesus came and took it all back. And he was raised from the dead. And after that, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And if Jesus has all power and he's head over all things to the church, then how much power does the devil have? Come on, somebody talk to me. I can hear you. He has none. He has no power. Don't give him any. Give no place to the devil. Don't do anything. Jesus said to the man who was healed in the temple, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. And sin opens the door to the devil. So we just need to be in righteousness by faith in Jesus. We need to live righteously, and we need to live under the shadow of the Almighty, so that Psalm 91 is our portion. And the blood of Jesus and the confession of our faith delivers us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So God, having foreshadowed what Jesus would do in all that he would do in the sacrifice of Jesus, at the time of the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, God did it in such a way to show us an example of how and what all he was going to do. If you haven't read the story of the deliverance and the first Passover, the first resurrection of a nation, the first time of great deliverance of God through the blood of the Lamb, you should go back and read that. But he brought them out of Egypt. You remember during the plagues that came, sometimes he gave the children of Israel grace to go through the plague with the Egyptians. And then he sequestered them in the land of Goshen for several plagues, when the plagues that came didn't even touch them or affect them or their livestock or anything that they had. I believe God can either move with us to help us have grace to go through things, or he can sequester and protect us that we don't go through them. But then came the death angel, the night that the death angel came and took the firstborn of all the Egyptians. And what did he do? He gave a lamb for a household. He sacrificed, told the people, sacrifice a lamb, take the blood, put it on the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I believe in this season of time, when the plague has come, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says when plagues come, here's what you're supposed to do. And the Second Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. 13 says when the plague comes, and 14 says this is what the people of God are supposed to do. They're supposed to humble themselves. The way up in the kingdom is to get low, to humble yourself before God, and let him exalt you in due time. And then it says, turn from their wicked ways. It's a time of repentance and turning. It says we should pray and seek the face of God. And it says also that then he will hear. He will hear. He will hear from heaven. He's heard us. We've cried out to him. He's heard us. And it says he will heal our land. I believe we've come through the Passover, and I believe God is now healing our land. But back then when he brought them out, listen to me now. Here's the word of the Lord coming to you out of that Romans 15 text where he's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit with all joy and peace. It says when he brought them out, he brought them out with a strong arm and with a high hand. And my beloved friends, he's doing it again. If you've looked around yourself, you'll see God. Ooh, there he is. He's delivering us. He's saving us. He's redeeming us. He did it then, and he'll do it again. Turn to somebody. If you're there in a room with someone, you can turn to them and say, you know what? He did it before, and he'll do it again. And you know, whether it's a headache or whether it's death itself, God is God, and he'll save us. He'll never leave us or forsake us and never fail us. Whether it's finding a new job, some people have lost their jobs in this whole thing. Whether it's figuring out how to work in a new way, whether we need innovation and whether we need some inspiration and new motivation, you know, God is here, God is with us, and God is helping us, and he's delivering us just as he brought Israel out of bondage. And whether it's delivering a new baby, we have several that are trying to get pregnant. We have several who are pregnant, delivering babies. We have a new great-grandchild on the way. Whatever is going on in your life, God is here. God is with us. God is delivering us. God is on the scene. He's working by the power of his Holy Spirit. And people are being healed and set free. I've been in lots of Zoom meetings than I've ever wanted to be in, more phone calls, more prayer meetings. People are really reaching out. And the word of God is going out like never before. What Paul, the Apostle Paul said, he told young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:9, he said, I'm in chains here, but the word of God is not chained. I may be sequestered here behind a camera for you today, but I tell you, the word of God is not chained. The word of God is a chain breaker, and it's going out now to you. The word of the living God, his name is Jesus. He is breaking every chain, and he's making a way where there is no way. He's called the way, the truth, and the life, and he's releasing a mighty, mighty power to you in this day. The manifest presence of God brings faith and hope. And when we cooperate with him by the Spirit of God, the work of the Spirit upon us and in us begins to take place. And then we begin to know the will of God. The Bible says we need to know the will of God and redeem the time, for the days are evil. If you haven't read Ephesians chapter 5 lately, go there and read that. It tells you what to do to walk in the Spirit and be in the Spirit in these troubled times. But when we cooperate with the presence of God in our life, then we begin to see the power of God work and the will of God work. We begin to say what needs to be said, be where we're supposed to be, do what we're supposed to do. And then we begin to see the life of God break out all over us. I want to bring you another couple of points on this idea of where we are right now. We've just gone through Passover, and God has a message for you today. And here it is. It comes to us in Exodus 13:21. After God delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt, he went before them. I want you to say this in your heart. God, I thank you that you have delivered us from the plague and you're going out before us. The Bible says in Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way. God is going to lead us out of this situation that we find ourselves in. And it says, and by night in a pillar of fire. So they had a pillar of cloud by day to lead them in the way, and a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day or night. My friends, we got to get up now and go. We've hidden in the caves long enough. We've been in sequester long enough. We need to start venturing out. We need to find our way to the new day, to the new way, to the new time, to the time of refreshing, to the time of restart, to the time of repositioning, reconditioning. It is a reformation spirit that's upon you now by the Holy Ghost that will lead you, and God will go before you. You don't have to go someplace that you don't know the way. God will be there as a light to shine on your path. No matter how dark it is, God will be there as a pillar of fire to give you light. And no matter how you feel or see around you, Jesus is standing in the storm, beckoning you to get out of the boat and come walk on the water. We are not without hope. We are not without direction. We are not without connection. We are not without provision, and we're not without protection, and you're not without leadership. God will provide you what you need to go forward now from this time of deliverance. And what did the angel say? That was the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament type around the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. What did the angel say to the Marys who came to the tomb on Resurrection Sunday? Remember, the angel rolled the stone away. There's a big earthquake. We're talking from Matthew 28, big earthquake. And the angel stood there and spoke to the ladies. And he says, but the angel, verse 5, Matthew 28, verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not where he was. He's in a new place. And it says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. There's a clear message today to the world. Jesus has been raised from the dead. To the church, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And to Ron Rayon personally, and to Belinda Rayon, who's here with me today, he's saying, I am alive. Fear not, I'm alive. And he says, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. Just like God went before them as a pillar of cloud and a fire by night, Jesus is going before us. And the angel tells the Marys, he says, you'll see him. And indeed, he's going before you to Galilee. Then you will see him. Turn to somebody and say, then you'll see him. Then you'll see him. You'll see him. He's showing up. He's here today. Where two or more are gathered together, even by a YouTube channel. He's here. Hallelujah. He's where you are. And he's gone before us. He is the resurrected Christ. His spirit lives within us. He said, the angel said, behold, I've told you. So verse 8, so then they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. I tell you, this message today is not a message to just dispel all your fears, because I think it's pretty natural to be afraid of some things. This plague that's come, extremely dangerous to the vulnerable, extremely dangerous to the fearful, extremely dangerous to those who have no covering. It's extremely dangerous. It's extremely contagious. So there is some fear associated with where we are. But these ladies, once they understood that Jesus was going before them, it says they had fear and great joy. And so fear, where it's natural, joy is supernatural. It isn't that courage is the lack of fear. Courage is the dominance over fear. Courage is the spirit that says, yes, there is fear, but I am greater than fear. The God of restoration is greater than the God of destruction. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's always done. That's what he'll always do. This is not the first plague, and it's not the last plague. There's earthquakes and wars and pestilences, all those things coming on the earth, beloved. But we know that. Jesus told us that. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so there's an overcoming joy that comes by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And just as God went before them, just as Jesus went before them, the Spirit of God is upon us and going before us. And it says, they went forward with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. I'm running to you today. I don't know if you can feel it, but I'm sitting here. On the outside, I'm sitting here. But on the inside, I'm running to you to tell you, he's gone before you. He's gone before you. He's gone before you. And it says down there in verse 16, the 11 apostles obeyed and went where Jesus told them. Right now, Father, I say, you can put your hands up if you want to. Father, I thank you that the Spirit of God is coming upon the people of God in such clarity and such awesome, clear direction, clear understanding. They won't miss a step. They'll be right where they should be as they begin to venture out, as they begin to re-engage, as they begin to find new ways of working, as businesses open. Lord, I command the Spirit of God to come upon people to show them the way, to get them back into a production and productivity that they've always wanted. Now we've come through a narrow place. I release the Spirit of God to open up a very wide place for the people of God, to bless us in ways that we never imagined possible. Let there be a super abundance of your Spirit around us so that we rejoice with great joy and fruitfulness in this season. I release that to our people in Jesus' name. Amen. And then later on, Jesus gave them instructions himself. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46, he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Like I said before, the message of Jesus to the world during any crisis and at any time is repent for the remission of sins. We should preach repentance in this day. When people say, I'm afraid, we should say to them, we have a solution for that. If you're afraid of dying, today's a good day to get over being afraid to die. Just receive Jesus into your heart and life. Say, God, I repent of my sins. I receive the blood of Jesus sacrificed on the cross and his living covenant into my life. I want to be a Christian. I want to live righteously before him. If you help me with your help, Lord, I'll do my best to be a good representative of your life. I receive Christ as my Savior and Lord. And all of a sudden, God comes in. And the fear of death begins to subside, and the joy of life comes in. And maybe Pastor Belinda and I were talking about that this morning. Maybe it's because we're older that we don't fear death so much, but we just really don't. The worst thing that can happen to us is we see Jesus. And that gives you a great freedom then to not be fearful, but to be and not tempt God. We don't want to do silly things, right? The devil told Jesus, jump off this building and, you know, the angels will catch you. And that way you'll prove you're the Son of God. I don't have to prove I'm the Son of God to anybody or anything. I am the Son of God. The Bible tells me you are too, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ and Lord of your life. And so we don't have to tempt God and do silly things. We will do as much as we know how to do in the natural. And then we'll believe the supernatural will cause us to rise above the fear of the natural and any impact of the natural, and that God will redeem and restore and deliver us continually until it is our time. I told people, I think last time on the broadcast, I don't plan to die prematurely. I plan to die maturely. And God is maturing me into the image of Christ day by day. And when he figures I'm mature enough to go on, I plan to live till I'm 85, and then I'll decide to either go up or go on. You know, that's my plan. And I'll do my best to follow the Spirit in the meantime. And I believe the Spirit of God is coming to you today, and he's saying, preach repentance and remission of sins. And then verse 38, it says, and you are witnesses of these things. Verse 48, behold, in other words, take a look, see, open your eyes. Father, I pray right now, everyone listening to me and watching me will pay attention and that they'll see and behold what Jesus is saying. Jesus said this in verse 49. He says, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That's what our text was about today, was the Holy Ghost come on you and fill you and work in your life. He said, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And we know that was fulfilled 50 days after the resurrection on Pentecost Sunday. And so we're between Passover and Pentecost. We're between the resurrection and the charging of the church with the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit came and he's never left. So he's being ministered to you today, even as I deliver the word of God from heaven to you. It's like bread from heaven. His blood is like drink from heaven. And if you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you abide in him and he abides in you. And the power of God is in you, upon you, and all through your life. So in the meantime, though, between the Passover and Pentecost, there, which was 50 days, there was 40 days that the living Christ was on the earth. Did you know that? You should go back and read Acts chapter 1. We'll read a little bit from it in a minute. But you know, in those 40 days after his resurrection, he was with the disciples and teaching. And what did he teach? What did he say? That's part of this message from heaven. He went before them. He went before them to Galilee. They went there and met him. He began to teach them. And then they circled all the way back around to the city of Jerusalem, and they were in the upper room on the 50th day for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the promise of God. But what did he teach in that time? Well, Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And so running from Luke into Acts is a continuing story here. And so Acts chapter 1, this is what the Bible says. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. To Theophilus, that's who Acts was written to, the lover of God. Oh, I like that. I like to be a lover of God. I love God. Because I love God, I can love you. And because I love God and can love you, I can actually love myself. I like myself. Glory to God. And it's a joy to serve the Lord and to love God. He says, I write to you again, my friend, and give you further details about the life of our Lord Jesus and all the things that he did and taught. Just before he ascended, I'm in verse 2, Acts chapter 1. Just before he descended, just before he ascended, that is, he was caught away into heaven, he left instructions for the apostles he had chosen by the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, after the sufferings of his cross, Jesus appeared alive many times to the same apostles over a 40-day period. People don't talk much about the 40-day period, but I want to talk about that a little bit to you today because I think there's a revelation for you in it. Jesus proved to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. I think post-Passover, it's time for Jesus to show up in your life and prove to you he's alive. I'm praying for signs, wonders, miracles, manifestations of Jesus in your life in these 40 days, particularly, that will just prove he's alive to you. And if nothing else, look at my uncommon joy today. supernatural joy. And you can tell there's something going on. Jesus is alive. He showed himself to me alive. Amen. And during these encounters, he taught them many truths of God's kingdom realm. Don't miss that in verse 3. During these encounters, he taught them the truths of God's kingdom realm. Jesus has all power and authority. He's given all power and authority to the church, or going to. On the 40th day, he's on the Mount of Ascension. I've been there in Israel. I've been on that Mount of Ascension, where Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore." Same words God gave the children of Israel. Go on and go. I'm going to go before you. But you can go now. You're free to go. Hallelujah. You're empowered to go. Hallelujah. Start moving with God. He says, he told them about the kingdom realm. That as you begin to understand how the laws of the kingdom working, the law of love, the law of giving, the law of faith, the law of grace, the laws of repenting from dead works and faith towards God, the laws of the laying on of hands, the law of the resurrection of the dead. There's lots of spiritual laws that God wants to reveal to you about kingdom life and how to live it, how to treat your wife and husband, how to treat your children, how to be work diligently at all things as unto the Lord. There's the Bible is full of instruction on the kingdom life. And that's what Jesus wants to do in this time. You know, he's shut off the ball games. We can't watch them anymore. He shut off the golf games. We can't go play golf. He's shut off the schools. We have to spend time with our children. Maybe you should teach them a few things about the kingdom. You know, we have to spend time with our wife. Maybe we should ask them, how has God changed your life in the last 5 years? Who are you becoming in Christ? There's something new happening in you. I know God is changing you. And things aren't like they were 5 years ago. They're different today. You're a different person because God has grown himself up in you. You're coming more and more into your ministry, more and more into different seasons of your life. Kids are getting older. You're moving into different phases of your life. So, honey, how can I help you achieve your vision in Christ? And women should ask their husbands. You should ask your friends in the church. I see that your ministry has changed. I see that your ministry is growing. How can I help you release all the goodness of God, the ministries that are coming to you? It's a time to encounter the truths of the kingdom. Share those with one another. Come into a unity of purpose so that your purpose is part of my purpose. My purpose is part of your purpose. Our purpose is part of the purpose of the church universal. And it comes to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord is established above all the other mountains. You can read that in Isaiah, and Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. But it says he shared meals with them. You know, we're going to have to come to an intimacy with Christ and with God and with the Holy Spirit in this time that we've never come to before. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I've been praying more. I've been reading more. I've been speaking more. I've been reaching into the kingdom more. And I'm believing this 40 days, hear me now, here's the word of the Lord to you. This 40 days, God is working special revelation. Get a journal, get a booklet, get a stack of paper. Begin to sit with God. Begin to ask him, oh God, now that you've got my attention, what are you saying to me? What are you trying to get across to me? What kingdom principle have I been missing? What kingdom principle shall I focus on? There's all these things I could be doing. Which one is the one? Where do you want my focus? Where do you want my time? Pastor Belinda's been studying in Ephesians 5, where it says redeeming the time, you know, making a calendar, getting up and intentionally doing what God is leading you to do. He said, I'll go before you as a pillar of cloud and a fire by night. There'll be instruction in this 40 days. I release the power of the Holy Spirit to give you a new wineskin That's a new ability to receive revelation and hold revelation, comprehend revelation, and obey the revelation of God coming to you. Jesus instructed them, don't leave, but wait till you receive the gift you're told about, the gift of the Father that I promised. That's in verse 4. Verse 5 says, for John baptized you in water, but a few days from now, a few days from now. How many's a few days? 50. You think a few days is two or three. God's got a different time for you. Some things take longer than you think. It might take us a little longer than you think it should to get us out of where we are into where the next season, the next phase, the next glory. But God knows what he's doing in your life. And he says, God baptized you with water, and a few days from now, I'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Expect my messages to you from the throne of God for the next several weeks to be about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit of God in your life. I believe God's message to you and me today is, I have delivered you from the plague. I have called you to celebrate the resurrection. And now I'm calling you a time of revelation of the things concerning the kingdom of God, which is the superior wisdom I have for you, says the Lord, in the order and rule of my Spirit in your life. God wants to align your life with heaven. That's the purpose of this time for the church. The purpose of this time for the world is a shaking and an awakening. We've been praying for a righteous awakening in the land. You can't awake somebody from bed, from asleep, without speaking to them and saying, hey, it's time to get up. If they're in a really deep sleep, which I believe the world has been in, deep darkness shall cover the earth, Isaiah 60 says, then there has to be a rude awakening, which is a shaking worldwide that has not been seen for a long time, my brothers and sisters. This is what's happening. God is shaking the world and saying, wake up, wake up. I take no pleasure in the death of sinners. Wake up and believe me. Believe in my son, Jesus. Come to repentance. Come to faith in Christ. And I believe God is aligning our life with heaven. The message to the church is, get lined up with me. There's other things coming on the earth that if you're not walking closer and closer and closer with me every day, you're going to miss a beat. You're going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You're going to be in a wrong connection, in a wrong relationship, in a wrong place. And I can't help you when you're in disobedience. Romans 16, 18, 19 says, be excellent at what is good. Be innocent of evil. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Obedience is your highest and most powerful weapon of warfare. You'll know exactly how to think about things. You'll know exactly how to speak to things. Your mouth will not betray you. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You'll be taught how to speak life at every turn. You'll know what to do. You'll know what job to take and what job to turn down. And you'll know how to not be nervous until the door opens. You'll know how to connect in community. You'll start to understand that it's we. If God be for us, who can be against us? That victory is in the us, not the me or the I. It's in us. I am making dramatic changes in your life, says the Lord. I'm making drastic changes in your identity, in your authority, in your purpose, and in your destiny. That's what the Lord says. I'm putting a bucket of the Spirit of God over you right now. I'm pouring out of my own life into you. I'm pouring out the promise to you in a new dimension that you have never experienced before, in the glory and faith and hope you have not ever seen or walked in before. It's a new season. How many times have you had prophecies? Hey, it's a new day and a new season. Well, I'm telling you, you're crossing over into a new time and new season. And I'll just say this, get ready for crazy increase. Get ready for a crazy increase. Things will be coming to you from sources you never imagined. All the seed you planted in the previous season is now blooming and blossoming. So let me go back to Romans 15, 13. Now you understand my excitement about the text today. It says this, now may God, now, I'm believing that right now where you are, now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you just radiate with hope. Amen. That's my message for you today. If you'd like to send us an offering or give to us by text or Cash App, the details are in the description on our website and on our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel. So all the information you need is there. And we love it. We've gone by the church and there's checks in the mail, checks left on the desk. There's people bring them by the house. There's Cash Apps. There's text giving. I'm telling you, people have been abundantly blessing us. And we really, really appreciate the faithfulness of the saints in Jesus' name. And so, friends, until we meet again, may God's richest and best be yours, which is always and forever found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you.